Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. You have us for an extra half hour today. And it's time now for us to return to the hotline. Cleveland Cavalier basketball season still a few months away, but the Cavaliers have been somewhat active in this offseason. And we return to the hotline to bring in our very next guest, Rick Noland with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette, joining us here to break down what the Cavaliers have done over the last couple of months. And, well, Rick, I guess we can begin with this. The recent Cavalier news deals with a departure of a guy that hasn't played with the team since, well, almost all the way back to the start of the season in J.R. Smith. Now, I think we all remember J.R. for many, many different reasons, but what do you think will be the one defining moment that we will remember J.R. by most in his tenure with the Cavaliers?
Well, there's two, and they're at opposite extremes. The negative one is failing to know the score in game one of the 2018 finals against the Warriors and allowing the clock to expire and the Cavs then losing in overtime and Rob getting swept. But I think more lasting than that, especially for Cleveland fans, is shirtless JR in the months after the Cavs won the championship in 16. Shirtless at the parade, shirtless at golf courses, shirtless everywhere. I will say that I really, really enjoyed covering JR. He was one of my favorite players. You know, he has some warts. He's made some bad decisions on the court and off. But the guy was genuine and real, and he was always entertaining and cooperative to talk with. The common fan doesn't get to see that. But he really is pretty much a down-to-earth, real guy who just has happened to make a ton of money in his life.
And you hear that a lot about JR. What really kind of stood out to me recently about him was the ovation he got in the Major League Baseball Celebrity All-Star Softball game, which, of course, took place 2 days before the game itself. I wasn't quite sure what kind of an ovation he would get. Rick, it was amazing to me just how well he went over. I mean, he got just as big a pop as the rest of the guys and the rest of the ladies in that entire lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he's an icon around here because he's also a character. And you know, he played his butt off for this team for 4 years, and then last year things kind of went a little bit haywire. But, you know, he started on four straight teams that reached the NBA Finals and for a time was one of the better, if not the best, defensive player on those teams. He guarded the best guard every night. He was a legitimate three-point threat. You know, I think it's unfortunate a little bit that he kind of, you know, early in his career, if you go watch highlights of him, they're unreal. He wasn't just a three-point shooter. He was a guy who could just sky and throw down some incredible dunks. You know, and then you add in the things of untying a player's tennis shoes, the premature birth of his daughter, all the ups and downs he had. I think people, and particularly people in Northeast Ohio, really can relate and kind of bond with a guy like that.
No question about it. And again, I think he will forever be tied to a championship in this city, the first one in over a half a century. So no doubt about it. I think JR will always be looked at in a positive light. Transitioning now into the current Cleveland Cavalier roster, I think we haven't really spoken much since the draft. And the Cavs made some noise, especially towards the end of that first round. And I'm not sure how much of the summer league you had the opportunity to watch, but you know, a lot of the guys that are going to be on the active opening day roster probably weren't playing in that summer league game. But I mean, I think, you know, the Windler kid was one of the guys that certainly stood out. Did you see anything from him in those summer league games that kind of made you think that the Cavs might have something special there?
Well, I'm not going to go anywhere near special. Right now, they got to hope that they have a legit NBA rotational player, and if you get that at 26. In the draft in this day and age, you've been successful. As far as the summer league, I saw him do a lot of really good all-around things in some games, and he very good rebounder for a guy who's 6'8 and barely weighs 200 pounds. He can shoot it. That was up and down. He also moves well without the ball. I think what everyone has to remember, though, is he had a much, much, much different and more involved role on that summer league team than he's ever going to have when he gets to the, let's call it the varsity team with the Cavs. There he's going to have a real defined role, I believe, and it's going to be, you know, that of a spot-up shooter, a floor spreader, a guy who tries to run the court and finish on the break. But I don't think, you know, you're not going to see the ball in his hands in a playmaking capacity very often. But I thought he was decent, and I like the fact, honestly, that he played 4 years of college. He understands the game, knows how to play it. And if all else fails, Andy, that there's enough reason to believe that he has the one legitimate NBA skill, and that's three-point shooting. And in this three-point crazy world that the NBA is in, if you can do that at a 40 to, you know, 40% clip, you can play a lot of years in this league.
Again, we're talking with Rick Noland with the Medina Gazette and the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, Rick, it's interesting. You look at what the Cavaliers have on paper right now, and, of course, a lot can change between now and the middle of October, but there are a couple names on this roster that just kind of make you think for a second. Are these guys going to be here when the season begins? The first would be Kevin.
A lot of them are not.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're going to be here when the season begins, and they may be here all season, but this time next summer, the Cavs are going to be a major player, hopefully for them in free agency, because they have a ton of expiring contracts. But right now we're looking I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're looking at another long rebuilding year that's not going to net a ton more victories than they had last season. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, while we're on that topic, though, looking ahead to next year, because we've heard this for a while now, that when a lot of these expiring contracts come off the books, the Cavaliers will have an opportunity to be a player in free agency next year. If you look at that free agency class, are there really any potential names out there that kind of excite you for next year?
I haven't really even begun to look at that too much, but, you know, they are, I believe, six players, and I was trying to think of all their names before you called. But I know Tristan, Jordan Clarkson, Delly, Henson, and I believe one or two others are all coming off the books. Now, you know, Tristan and Clarkson are going to be pretty big parts of the team next season. So more than likely what's going to happen, there could be some trades during the course of the season as well. They're trying to accumulate as many assets as they can in terms of first-round picks especially. But they could be even younger in 2021 than they're going to be in 1920. So we'll have to see. And how much do they want to go all in free agency next summer with a team that's going to basically lose, you know, the crux and core group of its veteran players that are going to be on the floor this season? So, you know, it's probably going to be a two-year process at minimum, and more than likely a three-year process, because I don't see Cleveland really having much chance of ever getting the upper echelon free agents. In other words, they're not going to get the equivalent of a Kawhi or a Kevin Durant. LeBron was unique because he was from this area, but you just don't see major free agents signing with Midwest teams very often these days. Now, it can happen, and it has in a few instances, but that's going to be, you know, their dilemma. They're not probably going to get the legit superstar free agents, so they have to get the second-tier players, the stars, who can fill valuable roles, but you win in this league with superstars. stars. And, you know, at the moment they have nothing coming remotely close to that. I won't even put Kevin Love near that right now. He's that second-tier star player, but not a superstar. So, and who knows what they're going to do with him. You know, if the right deal comes along, I think they're open to going, you know, all in to this rebuild and starting with youth. But, you know, the only way that works is if some of that youth develops in a year or two or three into that star and superstar caliber player, if that makes any sense.
Well, and given all of that, and the makeup of the current roster and, well, really the future roster as well. You mentioned four or five guys that are going to come off the books next year as well. You know, is John Beilein the right fit for the current makeup of this roster, which is kind of young now but will be really young a year from now?
Well, I mean, to me, I think he's the perfect coach because this year quite a bit and potentially this time next year, even more, he's going to be basically coaching a college team. You know, you're going to probably have Colin Sexton and Darius Garland in your backcourt. You'll have a young Jetty and Windler. Who knows what you're going to have left inside. Ante Zizic. You know, you got a lot of guys who still have and want to learn a lot. And I think he's ideal. And that he's spent a lifetime dealing with 20 and 21 and 22-year-old players. And that's what he's going to be doing here, at least, you know, I believe, for the next couple seasons.
Of all the guys who are going to be free agents after next year, you threw some pretty interesting names out there, you know, Dele, Tristan Thompson, you know, Knight's going to be a free agent as well, along with
that's
Jordan Clarkson.
Brandon, yeah, Knight.
Oh, he's an easy guy to forget, though, isn't he? I mean, we forget just how much promise there was for him at one point. But do you see a name in there that maybe the Cavaliers might try and retain in that free agent class next year?
Well, let's go through them. Brandon Knight, do you really want him? He was once a terrific point guard, but he no longer gets to the hole like he used to. So I don't, you know, and you have a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old as your projected starters now. So I don't see much reason in bringing him back. Tristan, that's probably run its course. You know, he helped them win a title, but he's one of those guys, if you keep, you know, you're probably paying him a little too much money and you maybe win a few more games immediately, but it just kind of halts the progression of other potentially younger or gifted offensive player you could get. Henson, you know, he's been pretty much a meh player for most of his career. You know, Dele's not a kid anymore. I'm not real big on him in the future. I could see him potentially at a you know, $5-7 million a year contract, maybe. The interesting one is Clarkson because I he's still young, even though he's been in the league for some time, and he seems to have really started to excel at that role of sixth man gunner off the bench. You know, whether you compare him to the Vinny Johnson of the old days or a Jamal Crawford or a Lou Williams today, he puts up numbers. But, you know, I think he's already at $14 million a year, and he's probably going to be looking for a decent raise from that. I don't really see any of them, quite honestly. I think Clarkson is the guy, the one guy I think, during the course of the season, who could bring you something semi to very valuable in return, you know, anywhere from now to up to the deadline in terms of picks and that type of thing. The thing they have to be very careful of, and ultimately the reason they simply released JR is they don't want to take a bad contract back in return, and they have to take something back in order to make the deal work. In other words, you don't want to trade Clarkson at, we'll say, $14 million a year and take back a guy who's making $12 to $15 million a year, but has 3 or 4 more years left, because you might be better served just to open that space up completely on your salary cap. So I think we're going to see this time next year, there's probably going to be 5, 6, maybe even 7 new players on this team that won't be on it at the end of the coming season.
Yeah, seems like it could certainly be a revolving door with that roster over the next 12 to 13 months. Rick, as always, we appreciate the time very much. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have you on again soon as we get closer and closer to the start of this new season.
Sounds good. Let's get out of this 95-degree weather first, and when it gets cold, we'll talk some more.
Yeah, sounds good. Stay cool out there, Rick.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Again, Rick Nolan with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking some Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. It'll be here before you know it. Time for a break. Matt and I will come back after this here on AM 930 WEOL.